From prairies to mountains, pine forests to deserts, the river deltas to their headwaters. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, left-wing wokeness is a common mental and moral deficiency, and it just won't go away. The attempts to rewrite Texas history continue, Marxist style, this time a symposium held at TCU. We'll tell you about that. The Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. We've got an update on the ping pong in the courtroom over the Texas Immigration Arrest the Border Crossers SB4 law. Also, the Texas Jew-hating crowd shows how it shares the values of Hamas, if you can call them values, by issuing threats and trying to stop free speech. Another reason why we shouldn't be supportive of that particular group inside of things. They do not share American basic values. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at PrattonTexas.com. Oh, many people, you've heard me talk about over these wildfires and the lawsuits about XL Energy. And I said, I get all their press releases, folks. This is a woke company. It has been for a long time. They're based in Minneapolis. They share the values of the internationalist left on climate change. I got one today. XL Energy named Social Investments Manager. And I'm not going to say her name because I don't have anything against this lady that grew up in Hereford. I mean, it's a job for her, but she's basically going to be their PR person for their United Way drive and stuff. But the job is Social Investments Manager. That's what they call it. Manager of Social Investments in Texas and New Mexico. And that includes environmental sustainability and community vitality. They might as well just go right out and call it social justice. In fact, in their summary, they put at the bottom of every press release, they described the company headquartered in Minneapolis as an industry leader in reducing carbon emissions and producing and delivering clean energy from a variety of renewable sources at competitive prices. So when you can't get heat or air conditioning and you're with Xcel in future years, you'll know why your utility company is a left-wing woke outfit. I like this headline, Minnie Madoff pleads guilty in phantom super PAC scam. There's a real history to this story, and it's about a San Antonio man. It's a big, big story in the Express News. Let me give you just a little bit. A San Antonio con man who built $1.2 million. Now, we're starting about his history. Listen to this. $1.2 million from a bank while he was a juvenile has now pleaded guilty to setting up a phantom super PAC. His name is now Christopher Henry Aragon. He's best known as one of the youngest people in San Antonio to con one of the city's banks. He was 17 years old when he began a scam that eventually netted him $1.2 million in bank loans, money he just, you know, used to live large. At 23, he was sent to prison. Well, that con earned him the nickname Minnie Madoff after, you know, Bernie Madoff. Of course, Bernie Madoff stole $65 billion. And this guy, pardon me, 2 decades later, Aragon, who now goes by his married name of Christopher Richardson, why would he have a changed name for being married? Maybe he's in that group, I don't know, is back in the news after making a big splash in the rough and tumble world of politics, writes Guillermo Contreras for the Express News. Aragon, now 37, pleaded guilty in Washington, D.C. recently to fraud charges related to a phantom super PAC he created to purportedly back Democrat candidates in key Senate races in 2020. His PAC was Americans for Progressive Action USA, and he claimed in his quarterly filing with the Federal Election Commission he'd raised $4.8 million from a handful of unknown donors and blah, blah, blah. The big left-wing guy. And Politico found irregularities with it, and they started checking with donors and looking at expenses, and they didn't line up. People said they'd never been hired or contacted by the super PAC. They hadn't even heard of it, but he had reported they spent the money while he was just living off the money while conning these lefties into funding him for their left-wing agenda. And now he's, pleaded guilty and going to go to jail again. And how about this headline? Texas boys dubbed Little Rascals arrested after Houston bank robbery. Fox News tells us that three juveniles aged 11, 12, and 16 were taken into custody yesterday for bank robbery in Houston. They've been wanted since last week. They allegedly robbed a Wells Fargo bank in Greenspoint area of Houston. The FBI Houston said on social media, all three bank robbery suspects known as the Little Rascals are in custody. Wow. 11 years old, 12 years old, and 16 years old. What's it coming to out there, my friends? That other guy at least conned the bank when he was 17 out of giving him a bunch of loans, so they had a chance to say no. Didn't work that way in a robbery. Today in Texas history, my friends, scholar Harriet Smither died 69 years ago today, March 20th, 1955. She'd been an archivist for the Texas State Library. Her scholarly editions include the papers of Mirabeau Lamar, the journals of the 4th Congress of Texas, the journals of the 6th Congress, and the diary of Adolphus Stern. She retired in 1953, one of the people that helped preserve our great Texas history. And later in the show, we're going to talk about the people who continue to try to destroy it because they are at heart Marxists. Our look at Texas history is sponsored each day by Hub City Title. If you're in Lubbock, use them. They're Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. They're reliable. They have fast turnaround. They have in-house title examiners, a lot of experience, great people. HubCityTitle.com. And also on this date in 1721, that's a long time ago, an expedition under the Marquis de Aguayo crossed the Rio Grande into Texas. Aguayo was governor of Coahuila in Texas when the Viceroy of New Spain accepted his offer to reestablish Spanish control of East Texas because the French had sort of wandered over in there in 1719. The Indians east of the Trinity welcomed the Spanish, as did the French commander, who agreed to withdraw over to Natchitoches in Louisiana. The expedition resulted in the increase in the number of missions in Texas from 2 to 10, the increase in the number of presidios, forts, from 1 to 4, and the establishment of so definite a Spanish claim to all of Texas, it was never again disputed by France or the French in Louisiana. That all happened this day, the 20th of March, way back in 1721, thanks to Hub City Title, sponsoring our look at Texas history. There's some really good news in the always growing, I now have a pile I've been saving up. This is just from today. I've got other stench of local government stories. We've seen this everywhere from Midland County commissioners using bonds without a vote to build a new jail, Lubbock's former leadership under Massengale and Pope and that creel, building new, you know, all kinds of new stuff. They opened, did tours today of the new police headquarters downtown, all this without a vote of the people, and just abusing things. Well, Austin really has set up a funding mechanism for their big multi-billion dollar, $5 to $10 billion light rail project. Nobody's ever done it before. I mean, what they're doing is just seems to be totally out of line with state law. Several places have the story, but the people that broke the story first were at the Lone Star Standard. Attorney General's office comes out in opposition to Austin's light rail funding request, which they have a role in approving these things, says the funding agreement was void at the time and an unconstitutional debt. We're again having to save those liberals from themselves, but it is important. I mean, it's massive debt, and from a system that's going to do nothing but create operating deficits every year. Good move by the Attorney General. Now we need more legislative action to stop other local governments from doing these things to us, including in so-called conservative areas.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Front on Texas will be right back after this.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
My first visit to our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in Costa Rica, was for a last-minute dental emergency for which my best quote was more than double what our entire trip cost, including airfare, hotels, dining, everything. I had the same emergency items done and ended up having my old metal fillings replaced too. Isabel did the same. All of it cost us less than half of local quotes for just the crowns I had needed. Learn more about dental care. Click the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even turn into a fun vacation.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
He's built companies in Texas since the Reagan reelect, paid personal and business taxes, dealt with regulation at every turn, and all the while been hip deep in Texas politics. A host who has done much more than sit and talk. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. More interesting stories keep popping up on this reelection runoff for the drinker of the House, Phelan Phelan. This is a new one. Craig Goldman, who's running for House now, he's a former member, House, State House member, and he's running for Congress for the seat being vacated by Kay Granger. And he's in a runoff for the Republican nomination for that. And Representative Craig Goldman of Fort Worth is pretty much a rhino. And no wonder he's helping Phelan big. Well, the Brandon Walton's at the scorecard has an interesting story that other media should cover, but they won't. And that is that there's a high-dollar fundraiser scheduled for Phelan in Dallas next month to raise money ahead of the runoff. And it's a group of over 60 politicians, lobbyists, and donors listed on the invitation for Phelan's Dallas fundraising event, including State Rep. Craig Goldman of Fort Worth, who, again, is in a runoff for a congressional Republican nomination for a congressional seat there. Federal election law prohibits candidates for federal office from participating in non-federal fundraisers unless the communication for the event contains, quote, clear and conspicuous oral or written disclaimer that the solicitation is not being made by the federal candidate, end quote. The invitation for the Dallas event obtained by the scorecard contained no such disclaimer. Additionally, federal candidates raising money for non-federal races may not solicit funds in excess of the federal limit of $3,300 per individual. The invitation that Goldman's name's on for Phelan shows levels is like hosting as high as $50,000. And that's a big screw-up by him and his campaign, and it's very likely he'll be in trouble with the FEC. But the point is they don't care. There's just an arrogance that comes with people who think they're part of the new American aristocracy, something that true Americans are against having in all senses. But they love it. They love being part of the power crowd. Lieutenant Governor Patrick's endorsed more candidates for these runoff elections. He endorsed Katrina Pearson, the former Trump official for State House District 33, to replace Representative Justin Holland, who we've talked about before. Holland is awful. He's turned on us on everything. He's just awful. We need Katrina Pearson to win that, and he did endorse her, and she's also endorsed by Paxton, Attorney General Paxton. This week, Patrick endorsed Alex Kamkar for House District 29. HD 29 is running against, it's a race against Berry Insurance Group owner Jeffrey Berry. And Kamkar is also endorsed by Governor Abbott. And in the U.S. House race along the border for Texas 23, he's gotten a tremendous amount of beating up over it. I mean, just a tremendous amount of blowback. But Patrick's endorsed incumbent U.S. Rep. Tony Gonzalez for Texas 23. There's a couple of big pieces out today on the AK guy, this guy who moved here to run for that. I think he's from the East Coast. And he said some pretty stupid things about Texas. He clearly doesn't. He's a really neat guy. And I think there's a lot of people that would just rather have him than Tony Gonzalez, who's not nearly as much of a moderate mugwump as the previous Republican that held that had that seat back before the other Democrat and all that. But he's not that great, and a lot of people are lining up with this Herrera guy and Brandon Herrera, YouTube influencer, they call him, and all that. He's very colorful and interesting. It's going to be an interesting race. I mean, it's up to them to decide who they want. There's pluses and minuses on both. I've not been very happy to hear some of the things that Herrera has said. He clearly doesn't know much about Texas history and who we are as a culture, but that's all right. You know, we'll see how it happens. All right, my friends, the Jew haters in Texas are out in force and showing why we should really be very condemnatory towards these people all the time because they don't share basic American values. Well, Robert, I mean, y'all are against it. Y'all have tried to shut down these drag shows. No. That was in locations where they're saying that children are welcome. We have a right. It is not a contradiction. It is not any kind of hypocrisy because we have an obligation to protect children from these things. There may be a few people that say, well, they should never be able to do this anywhere, but that's not been the argument, whether you understand it or not. The argument has been that children shouldn't be allowed in these places to watch these sexualized shows. So there's nothing hypocritical here. I'm all for speech. I say that you know, as Bill Buckley did, the solution to speech you don't like, that you find horrible, distasteful, whatever, is simply more speech. Now, that sounds simple and trite, but it's not, because you think about it, when the left holds power over anything, and by the way, some on the right have done this historically, and they try to tell you that's where it all comes from, but if you actually examine it, it's in the last couple hundred years, it's the Marxists and the left. They use the power of institutions and all kinds of other power, implicit and explicit, to try to stop speech that they don't like. They simply don't approve of it, and they try to stop it in all ways. Well, the first story comes out from our good friend Holly Hansen at the Texan. Pro-Palestinian protesters, these are Jew haters, forced cancellation of Houston Young Republican event with an Israeli official. The official is a woman. She's the Consul General of Israel to the Southwest United States. She was going to go and speak. And the Young Republican groups, the YRs in Houston, had this meeting set up, scheduled for Tuesday evening at Christian's Tailgate Bar and Grill. Several hours before the event, management notified them they couldn't provide the location because they're babies themselves. What happened was they were inundated with phone calls, you know, just freezing them up about the appearance of the Israeli official to speak. It's all she's doing, speaking. And threats and things. They moved it to another place and just sent out an email to their members instead of the public, and still there obviously were false names on the list. It got it to another place, Presley's Southern Good Eatery. They didn't announce it publicly. Within hours, the protesters threatened that and started calling to threaten to burn down the building and a lot of other things. One of the protesters actually entered the property and began shouting at customers and things about Israel, you know, against Israel and pro-Hamas and all of that stuff. And so they decided to reschedule the event. But they said that we're going to keep doing it. We're not going to kowtow to bullies. And this is the kind of thing you get out of the left and out of these groups, and why there's just no support. There's just nothing earned by these people. They don't share any values except the values of Hamas, which is terrorism, totalitarianism, and obviously no competing views whatsoever. That's how they've governed Gaza. The Gazans, the people there, elected them as their government, re-elected them, and put them in power. So that's the values these people share. Now, the latest update this afternoon is that Houston area YR postponement of the event with the Israeli official has drawn a statement of solidarity from one local Democratic Party leader, who's probably Jewish. It's what's his name? Good for him. Yeah, he's president of the Maryland area Democrats, Art Pronin. And he says, I'm in solidarity with the Houston Young Republicans in this moment and with my friend Link Raviv. So He said, we faced similar situation last month. No matter what issue you're upset about, we have the right to assemble and discuss issues freely. Right. That's one of our basic rights as Americans. And some of those same protesters disrupted Democrat Lizzie Fletcher there in Houston in February, so last month. A bunch of officials, Republican people like Senator Creighton, Senator Betancourt, Joan Huffman, Cole Corse, a lot of others, Bob Hall, Mays Middleton, all pledging to pay for security for the event. And also Betancourt saying the Harris County DA, Kim Ogg, needs to investigate these threats. This is what we deal with at every turn today, that we're not supposed to have the right of free speech or assembly, only the other people, always the others.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Federal investigators blamed human error for a deadly natural gas explosion.
We all remember where we were that morning.
We could actually see the smoke from our farm here, which is close to 20 miles away.
I just heard a big boom. The tile plow ruptured into the pipeline. Once the gas got through the intakes of the tractors is when it ignited. I started running as fast as I could. The ground literally started erupting from my feet.
Watch the rest of the story at 3secondslater.org. And remember, FarmSafe starts with 811.
Arriving to visit our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga, you'll be met at the Modern Airport like a celebrity and whisked away to the upscale mountainside suburb of Escazú overlooking the capital of Costa Rica. Enjoy relaxing resort-style lodging and great dining. Dr. Zuniga will be your concierge throughout your stay as if you were a member of her family. You never have to be on your own. For many, the whole trip for two is less money than what they'd just pay a dentist at home. Learn more. Click the Dental Care banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, the ping pong in court over Texas SB4 that lets us arrest people for illegal border crossing and then prosecute them. And they can either be jailed then if they're found guilty, or they can agree to self-deportation. The state can't deport them in this. This is really weird. I mean, you know, yesterday, okay, the Supreme Court said, nope, we're going to let it go forward while this works its way through the courts. And then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which actually had already said the law can go forward and just put a 1 week pause on it so the Supreme Court could look at it because it's a fundamentally important case, reversed itself last night after the Supreme Court let it go forward. They reversed itself very late last night and then scheduled via Zoom. I just think this stuff needs to be done away with. But nevertheless, these hearings via computer deal, hurried up hearings so that the parties don't have time to prepare any for this specific hearing this morning. And they've had the hearings. And if you listen to the people on there, it sounds like they're probably going to end up ruling against this because of all this. Well, the federal government's in charge of, I'm sorry, the state arresting people for entering illegally is not an interference. I think a very strong argument, a very intellectually defensible argument can be made that that is not interfering with the federal government's role and control of immigration policy. Because the federal government could decide that crossing the border anywhere outside of a point of entry is no longer illegal. And then the state couldn't arrest people. The feds have said it's illegal, and so why can't the state adopt a law mirroring that? The feds adopt laws all the time that mirror state laws when it comes to criminal, and the states adopt laws that mirror the federal government when it comes to, think drug laws, for example, when it comes to things. They all say, well, it interferes with the duty of the state. This is silly. This is like talking about when you get down to the brass tacks and listen to these people, it's as if the process, you know, how you clean the bathrooms at the school in the evening is is the center point in the center point of federalism, whether it's a federal responsibility or a state responsibility. I find that to be rather ridiculous, given that law enforcement often all over the country engage in, you know, for example, the feds really don't have, other than I think Treasury officers, they don't really have any standing in the state to enforce the law or carry guns or anything else. We allow them to do that, and this works seamlessly all the time for everybody. That says, oh, this would just be fundamental and overthrow the whole order of the world and federalism and states versus the federal government's power. That's just not true. There are federal officials running around your town. I mean, we've expanded this stuff to the point of nightmarishness. I mean, Homeland Security agents, everybody else. There are so many federal agencies, post office, cops, everybody running around. And, you know, they don't have the standing of law enforcement. They can be disarmed by your sheriff, except in very limited circumstances. And yet, every state in the union allows these people through just cooperative type agreement to run around and enforce laws and do things. There's no difference in this idea. I don't think anybody's making that argument, sadly. But there's really no difference to that. I mean, we're talking about policing powers. It's not going to just destabilize everything that the state police officer can arrest somebody. They had this hearing. What was interesting about this hearing, and by the way, I've read some of the reviews already of the hearing that was done late this morning, and the state's deal, you got Circuit Judge Andrew Oldham telling Daniel Teal, a U.S. Department of Justice lawyer for the Biden administration, that he's skeptical the Biden administration could show the entire law was likely invalid, which is required to continue to temporary to block it all. When it comes to gets to be in the U.S., that's exclusively federal. But that's not what we're talking about. Oldham gets it. Now, he's a Trump appointee, and he used to work. He was general counsel to Governor Abbott. He understands this stuff. But he's right. We're not talking about who controls immigration policy. Remember what I told you, because I haven't seen this in any write-up on it anywhere, and I read a lot. It's what I do all day and night. I haven't seen anybody point out that How does this interfere? Because with the federal government's control over immigration policy, who's legal or not legal, they can address that. Congress could pass a law, or the way it's been done lately, you know, the dictator in the White House just decides, which is what Obama and Biden have both done on immigration policy. And so far, they've gotten away with it. I mean, they've just created classes of immigrants and who can work and who can't and all that, which is completely under the purview of Congress and covered by existing law. But they could say, hey, they're not illegal. Then the state couldn't arrest him anymore. This does not deprive the state of any authority. I mean, the federal government of any authority. The state does not engage under this SB 4 in the deportation of individuals. I know they keep writing that to you, but you listeners know the truth here because I've explained it to you. And I've shown you how even those liberal publications know it because they bury it in the last quarter of the stories, the real story. We can prosecute people for illegally entering and then we can jail them, just like we can do now for trespassing and other things like that. But they, under the law as before, they would be allowed to self-deport. And the federal government has a law just like that. That's not the state of Texas deporting them. If they want to avoid the consequences, then they can leave. You probably saw the headlines about Mexico's big leftist commie president. We won't accept anybody in, which, by the way, that's just a bunch of smoke. Ignore this stuff in the media. It's just smoke. If you read the fine print, of course, we have to allow Mexican citizens in. Well, we don't normally deport people back to Mexico. We deport them to their country of origin. Put them on a plane and go. And if they self-deport, it has nothing. SB4 is all self-deportation. The state of Texas isn't taking anybody over there. It would be these people just voluntarily going. Mexico wouldn't even know. This stuff just gets so full of smoke and stuff to misdirect the ignorant, which sadly includes a lot of people who are good conservatives trying to do talk radio and stuff. They just don't know things. They're lazy and they don't read. You got the other justices in this group saying, well, this is different, and sounding like they're not going to uphold it. I want you to understand something, because everybody's confused by this whole thing. A panel of the Fifth Circuit already held it, that it could go forward. They waited for the Supreme Court. Supreme Court then moved. Then they come back again. Here's something I've only found in one report, and it was the Houston Chronicle, to their credit. Around 10 p.m., a three-judge panel in the Fifth Circuit issued a brief order that effectively blocks the law with no explanation. That was last night. The judges on that panel are different from those who had briefly blocked the law earlier this month, but said it should be allowed to take effect while the larger court battle played out. Bingo. This is dissension within the Fifth Circuit and all of its judges. You got another panel that decided to stick their nose in something that the court's already handled, which is ridiculous. It needs to be reined in. Because if that's their issue, then they simply should have, instead of waiting to April, they should have scheduled en banc hearings, the whole court, right away, and dropped all their other work and did it. This is just internal politics in the court. You heard that here? Nobody else talking about it. Governor Abbott said, look, it's like watching a tennis match. The ball goes back and forth across the net constantly. He was giving a speech at the Texas Public Policy Foundation Summit in Austin this morning. Know this, what they've stated is Texas enforcement of SB 4. But even without SB 4, Texas has the legal authority to arrest people coming across the razor-wired barriers on our border, and we'll continue to use our arrest authority to arrest people coming across the border illegally. So, it continues, the ping-pong, back and forth. The real little story there, and Benjamin Wehrman and Taylor Goldenstein at the Chronicle, they put it down towards the end of the story. They didn't make much of it. But that's another real story, a big story in the conservative Fifth Circuit. All of a sudden, you have some kind of, where one panel of the circuit kind of jumps on the toes of another panel of the circuit. That's a really big story nobody yet is writing about. Back in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact Mark Miller, your Abilene Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 3849 Oldham Lane or visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Make your home office or workshop comfortable in both hot summer and cold winter with an energy-efficient ductless AC and heating unit from Hart Heating and AC.
The True Texan Studios uber comfortable with a Hart Heating and AC installed ductless unit, and the energy efficiency as well as ease of installation made it the best upgrade I've made in years.
Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Beat the heat and the cold with a ductless system. Hart. H-A-R-T HeatingandAC.com.
License DXCLA 1229 OE.
At Las Brisas, you'll enjoy the highest quality meats, with chicken being all natural and hormone-free, the same for the exclusive Meijer Natural Angus beef, as well as premium Wagyu beef. Fish is flown in fresh several times per week, and premium produce is sourced from top growers with field-to-kitchen traceability and rigorous monitoring at all five stages of production to ensure quality. Enjoy authentic, fresh, superbly delicious meat and seafood at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
We move to our Lone Star story of the day here on Pratt on Texas. Left-wing wokeness, a common mental and moral deficiency, and it just won't go away. Attempts to completely rewrite Texas history, Marxist style, are ongoing at a symposium held at, of course, TCU. So everybody always kids and have said for years that the sea is silent in TCU. Are they just you now because the Texas is silent too? Forget just the fact that it's not really dedicated to the teachings of Jesus Christ anymore and Christian. So now it's not even Texas Christian University. It's just you. We all just calling it Fort Worth U or overly expensive U. Sherry Sylvester, the big political analyst now at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, writes, wokeness won't go away quietly, especially in the war against history. In April, by the way, again, as I said earlier this week, it's not a criticism of you, a lot of you, because look, you're earning a living, you got other things to worry about, but you need to understand the fundamentals of Hegelian Marxism, Hegel and Marx and Lenin and all of this. This, because people always think we're crazy when we talk about the radical things these people are doing, and yet they only think that because they don't understand that it's just what seems so crazy to the normal person is everyday bedrock, openly known and discussed principles of Marxism. Just pointing out, those are CRT, critical race theory, all of those kind of things. So it won't go away. In April, a new Texas history organization, that's right, a new one. Why? Because we cleaned them up at the Texas State Historical Association. So the leftists had formed a new one. Created in the aftermath of a critical race showdown with the Texas State Historical Association, announced it will meet for its first symposium titled Texas History in the 21st Century, Looking Back, Moving Forward. Now, Texas history isn't any different in the 21st century than it is in the 20th century. History should be history, but you see, not if you're a Marxist or you subscribe to these critical theories. At this event to be held at, I guess now it's not Texas Christian University, again, Fort Worth U, college professors can learn about, quote, writing against the master narrative, end quote, as well as pay tribute to former Texas State Historical Association chief historian Walter Bunger. This guy's a horrible leftist. He's a guy that lost out in the power play. One doesn't have to read, Sherry writes, too closely between the lines to get the impression that these historians, almost exclusively academics, you know, think about how many of them live off the taxpayer in taxpayer-paid schools. Apparently believe there's some kind of, quote, master narrative, end quote, that needs to be challenged. Right. You may recall that their honoree, Bunger, I don't remember how you say his name, if it's Banger or Bunger, B-U-E-N-G-E-R, has dismissed the Alamo as, quote, insignificant, end quote, while insisting that the shrine of Texas liberty has been misused to commemorate whiteness. You know, he was trying to run the Texas State Historical Association. Sherry asks, is that the master narrative? From commentary in the media, it is clear that this new group believes they are up against the Texas legislature, which rightly banned the teaching of the 1619 Project after it had been debunked by seemingly every reputable historian in the country. Perhaps they also believe it's important to put the book Forget the Alamo, written by two partisan reporters and a political consultant, which was also debunked by any historian that matters, in Texas classrooms. Because they are professors, they may also be fighting against the legislature's passage of a ban on diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and programs in Texas public colleges and universities. The Texas DEI bill has nothing to do with teaching history, but it does prohibit classifying every student by the color of their skin, ethnicity, or gender. Again, looking at these people on the surface, they're just old-fashioned segregationist Democrats. That's why Bob Zimmerman always begins these pieces with, you know, the old rallying cry in the South, segregation now and forever, or whatever it was, I forget. But DEI ideology on campus permeates every aspect of campus life, Sherry Sylvester writes, especially the teaching of history. It is built on a flawed and racially divisive view of history that allows for only one lens, race and oppression. In other words, in their view, that's the cause and effect of everything, race and oppression, which of course is stupid because the same leftists also try to claim in other forums and other ways that, well, climate change causes massive upheavals and, you know, and every kind of other things it causes. But within DEI, it's true. Everything is race, and that's what I was telling you earlier this week. I was getting a little mad because I'm so angry. People don't understand it. Then in all these critical theories and Marxism and stuff, you have these basic ideas that permeate everything, and that everything in Marxism, everything is political. Now, Sherry says, it's a worldview that encourages people to make ridiculous statements such as claiming the story of the Alamo, quote, commemorates whiteness, end quote. DEI is a simplistic attempt to reduce Texas history, American history, the history of all Western civilization, into a war between villains and heroes. And by the way, that is exactly what it does. And when I was growing up, all the intellectual left always tried to make fun of conservatives by saying that conservatives just saw everything as black and white, and that's a sign of mental illness and low IQ. And yet their entire movements are based upon this now. Isn't that interesting how the pendulum swings and now that's their case on everything? It's villains and heroes because why? It's easy. It removes all responsibility, personal responsibility from you, your family, your past ancestors, and everybody else. You know, you had the great-granddad and the granddad and the dad that drank and spent all the money and wouldn't work very steadily and all that. But I mean, you're not poor because of that. You didn't have college money because of that. No, no. And the choices made. No, 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 no. He only did that because society and whiteness and the oppressor, never mind that the guy next door who was black saved his money and, you know, moved out of your neighborhood two generations ago, and his family's all college graduates. They don't account for that. And she says, using their analysis, every hero in the so-called master narrative is a villain. And consequently, every villain must be made into a hero. Right. To see how this works in contemporary times, just look at how campuses, students, and faculty alike made heroes out of the terrorists who attacked Israel. Real historians cannot be driven by a political ideology. They know that no figure from the past, not one as saintly as Francis of Assisi, nor one as despicable as Benedict Arnold, can be portrayed as either fully hero or villain. Human beings are complicated, and so must their historical reckoning be. The shameful institution of slavery did exist in Texas, and no teacher or history can shy away from that. That's why Texas teachers are required to teach about slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and the Civil Rights era. And she talks about their award-winning Forging Texas film series at Texas Public Policy Foundation that has really been lauded as very accurate and proper. And the 1836 Advisory Project established by the legislature in 2021, producing a Texas history summary that's available to everybody at Department of Motor Vehicle offices. And it looks at the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't try to whitewash history. She just says later on, we can hope the Texas Alliance for History doesn't become just another group of grumbling left-leaning professors trying to convince Texans that their great state that grew out of nothing to something become the seventh largest economy in the world and the job creator for the nation is somehow an evil place, but I guarantee you that's what they want. Over 1 million people visit the Alamo every year, a site where 200 men courageously fought to the death to ensure that Texas would be independent and free. Some African Americans and abolitionists fought beside Travis and Crockett. Everyone who was there during the siege has a story, and true historians want to learn about them. All of them. No one who knows the story would describe the sacrifice at the Alamo as, quote, insignificant. But TCU is hosting this new group, so you, it'll be at you in Fort Worth. It never stops, folks. But it's never going to stop in all the hidden places in your local schools and levels till you learn to recognize it and you're comfortable arguing back and putting a stop to it. That's important. Folks, don't forget to get your tickets to the Ragtown Gospel Theater's performance Saturday at 3 o'clock of the new 33 AD by the great Chip Polk. It's very affordable. It's fun to go to. Ragtown.com. We're out of time. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.